My theory is that if I'm going to do something, then I will do it differently. I can always go to the store and buy potatoes. I cannot go to the store and buy purple potatoes. So I grow purple potatoes. I own my uniqueness. No, this interview is not with a farmer. In fact, this podcast interview is with my friend Nikki Peel, a wedding and elopement photographer in South Africa. And Nikki is an all-round awesome human being. She not only photographs weddings in paradise, that's what she calls South Africa, with its blue skies, crystal clear waters, and amazing landscapes. But she's also a backyard gardener who grows some pretty unusual and unique crops in her spare time. Nikki shares so much of her life and her philosophy on how she has been running her business for the past 8 years. Being true to who she is as a person and as a brand has really helped her grow a successful wedding photography business in an industry that is heavily saturated. She says that, like everyone else, she too tried lots of things early in her career. But when she quickly got burnt out, she decided to focus only on the things that gave her joy, play to her strengths, and let go of all the other things that hampered her productivity. Nikki talks about the importance of building strong relationships with peers and other professionals in your industry. Relationships that are not transactional, but instead are genuine and for the long term. These people will be the ones who will refer you, speak for you, and be your champions, so treat them well, she says. And don't be afraid to be who you are. She prefers face-to-face meetings to establish those strong connections. Sure, social media is a great way to connect, but take those conversations offline, and that's where the real magic of community happens. I had such an amazing time chatting with Nikki and cannot wait to share her story on this episode of Culturally Ours. She has a great sense of humor, an adorable accent, and the sweetest giggle. Everything that makes chatting with her feel like you're talking to your dear friend and not a stranger halfway across the world.
Welcome to Culturally Ours, a show where we explore global cultural diversity in an intimate way through conversations and narratives around lifestyle, culture, food, art, and travel. Host Karthika Gupta talks to people from all over the world who have intimately experienced different cultures as a way to understand each other's worlds from the inside out, focusing on what we have in common.
Welcome, Nikki. Thank you so much for joining me on Culturally Ours today. I am so excited to be chatting with you and cannot wait to dig into your entrepreneurial journey.
Thank you. It's such an honor, and I'm really, really excited. So hopefully it's going to be a good one.
I'm sure it's going to be a great one. So let's just jump right in.
Awesome.
Can you give us a little bit of kind of context on, you know, who you are, where you're from, just to help sort of set the stage a little bit?
Sure. I am Nikki M, because nobody can pronounce my surname. My full surname is Marisic Peel. Just made my life very complicated when I got married. But I'm a wedding and elopement photographer. I'm based in South Africa, in a small coastal town called Port Elizabeth. And we have very cool people, very relaxed lifestyle, lots of ocean, sports, and beautiful landscapes around us. So I'm basically in heaven for wedding photographers.
That does sound fantastic. Not just for wedding photographers, I think just for a lifestyle. I mean, they have like everything.
Everything.
Is this something that you went to school for or knew you kind of would get into always?
No. I was the good, responsible eldest child that decided to, you know, study law because it was something I could make money off of and it was a good career choice. So I studied law, I went into human resources and did that for about 3 years, was absolutely miserable. And yeah, one day I just kind of had a phone call with my father and I said to him, I'm hating life at the moment. And he said, Nix, you have to do something that you love. And why don't you do photography? I mean, you've always done it since you were small. I was like the family photographer. I used to take my snap camera everywhere with us and kind of like the angels sang, and I thought, damn, why didn't I think of that before? So yeah, I quit that was in November. I quit the 1st of December, put in my resignation, and have been coasting ever since. So yeah.
Wow. I mean, I have to say, dads sometimes do give the best advice.
Definitely.
Parents, you know, they know what you want to do, where you're going to go. It's just us kids who sometimes don't listen to it.
Yeah.
So how has this been like? I mean, how many years have you been a wedding photographer now?
This is the 8th year. So yeah, it's been quite a long journey. A good one though. There's been, I think when things are meant to happen, they just work out. So yeah, I'm really glad that everything happened as it did, and it's a good life. It's free, if I can call it that. It's a lot different to working in corporate. I'm glad I had the corporate experience. It's helped a lot in my actual business day to day, but working for yourself is completely different. So yeah, 8 years of this.
I completely agree. It's a whole different ballgame. Mm. Now, how, I mean, you kind of described where you live. It sounds like paradise. Like, it's gorgeous weather, you know, all the makings of paradise, right?
Yeah.
And as a photographer, particularly a wedding photographer, how competitive is your landscape? I mean, both figuratively and literally.
The thing about the way that I work is that I'm based in a small town, but I compete nationwide. So my work is not limited to Port Elizabeth. I do a lot of work outside. I travel a lot. So if we're looking at South Africa as a sort of competitive climate, it's very saturated. I mean, the wedding photography industry is quite a saturated market. Everybody's got cameras now. Everybody wants to be a photographer, Instagram, everything, and Instagram makes you awesome. So basically, it's a tough industry to be in. But the interesting thing about weddings is that it's all relationship based. So when you've been in it for a really long time, the relationships that you form with people who are working in the actual wedding industry will always help you if you put effort into it. And more often than not, those are the people that refer you. Those are the people that are speaking about you. Those are the people that are showing your images, as well as clients speaking about you. So as far as a saturated market goes, there are a lot of ways to make your name. And I guess wedding photography is, it's a luxury, but people understand the value in it and are willing to spend money on it and are willing to find a photographer that is good. I mean, these are your memories of your wedding. It's not just like a walk on the beach, you know? So as long as you are constantly improving and standing out, it's not really difficult. I know it sounds very blasé to say that, but I've never experienced difficulty in getting work as such. So yeah.
No, that's fantastic. And you hit the nail right on the head when you said it's all about relationships. And I think that's true for pretty much any industry, but I know more so for photography and for the creative industry, because, you know, as creatives, we glorify our work sometimes. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong in that. I mean, you know, you have to love what you do. But like you said, everybody has a camera. Everybody wants to be a photographer. Yeah. There's money in wedding photography, so everybody wants to do that. But how do you set yourself apart? I mean, kind of building these relationships. So maybe, you know, how do you go about building relationships? And is it all online? Is it face-to-face? Or is it a combination of both?
I think it's definitely a combination of both. I find face-to-face easier. I don't know what I did in this life to ended up with the gift of making people very comfortable, but and building relationships. But that's one of my things. So not in a selfish way, but to see what I can get out of people. But I find it very easy to form bonds with people and genuine caring bonds where you are actually invested in other people in the wedding industry. And that's other photographers as well. It's not just wedding suppliers, everything from obviously being in a smaller town as well. It's easy to form those bonds with people, but I have bonded with people all over the world, and that's how I end up getting most of my international weddings, how I'm able to go visit the places that I do. So I think relationships are hands down the most important thing. If it's not just with, as I said, the wedding suppliers, your actual clients, my clients refer me. I've booked a wedding at the Tower of London through a bridesmaid at one of the weddings, just by taking the time to get to know them and, you know, chatting to them, making sure they're okay. So yeah, it's it's those little things that pay off in the end. You shouldn't be doing it because you want it to pay off, but it's important, definitely.
No, I agree. And I think people are pretty savvy. They know when you are doing it for an ulterior motive.
Definitely.
And they know when you're doing it because you genuinely care.
Definitely.
So sounds like you've got the formula right.
I hope so.
Now, I feel like sometimes as people and as a culture, we sort of don't celebrate our successes. We feel like it's, you know, perhaps tooting our own horn or, you know, kind of being egotistical, where it's not. I think it's very important that we kind of just take, especially for entrepreneurs, take a moment and sort of celebrate everything that, you know, we've accomplished. And you've been in business for 8 years. So what are some of your proudest accomplishments, proudest moments? We would love to know.
Gosh, I think probably the fact that I can say, and I know that my clients and people I work with trust me. And that goes beyond that into the realm of education as well, that people are willing to listen to me talk about natural light with all my quirks and chaotic theories. People still trust that I can, you know, capture their wedding, that I can teach them something. That for me is probably one of my biggest accomplishments. In terms of actual things that I've done, definitely all of my overseas weddings that I've captured, and especially the one in the Tower of London, because that was super special. I mean, not very many people get to do that. So that was really, really amazing. And then again, that people trust me to fly across the world and capture their wedding is quite something. So yeah, speaking at expos, the first one I ever spoke at was Photo Film Expo, which is pretty much our biggest photographic expo. And now it's moved over and I'm part of Admired in Africa. So every year I get to join everyone and chat to them. That's really, really awesome. But other than that, I think just the fact that I've managed to create this brand that's so authentic and that people identify with, that I've been pretty true to myself. And even if I giggle all the time and say a few cuss words, like people still are okay with that. So yeah, I'm trying to be super authentic, and I think I'm really proud of the brand that I've created. So yeah,
that's
in terms of accomplishments, that's them.
No, that's phenomenal. And you have to be true to yourself at the end of the day, because otherwise you're going to be really, really miserable. And if, you know, if you giggling and you throwing a few cuss words, if that's you, and we all do it, right? We all do that. So there's no shame in admitting that. But being courageous to say, this is who I am, I think that's quite commendable. So I applaud you for that.
I think also a lot of people find pride in actual things that they do, but there's a lot of pride as well into how that can come out of how you do things, if that makes sense.
It's totally
being authentic and being having good morals, running your business in a way that's it's difficult in this day and age, but running your business with integrity and principles, it's very important. And that is an accomplishment in itself, I guess.
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think how you said it, right? You said how you do it is so much more important than what exactly you do.
Yeah.
That's so true. Now, like anything else in life, we all have ups and downs, right? We've talked about all the good things, the ups. What are some of the challenges you faced, and how did you go about sort of overcoming them? Because this journey is hard. It is really hard at times. And you know, when you're really down, you get depressed, you don't know what to do. So can I just walk us through some of those scenarios?
I think one of the biggest challenges is boredom. it's getting up. I mean, I have an office at home. So getting up, making sure you get out of your pajamas, getting into a routine every day. I hate routines. So just forcing myself to get into that routine and not getting bored with what I'm doing. So constantly trying to learn new things and do things differently and look at things differently, start new projects. And a lot of that comes out of who you're around and who you surround yourself with. My husband always pushes me to kind of do things differently and look at things strategically because he's in strategic marketing. So that always helps. But yeah, it's actually surrounding yourself with people. But at the same time, it's a very isolated job. I see people maybe on a Saturday when I'm working, and if I make the effort to go out, other than that, it's just Justin and myself. So it's kind of balancing that isolation, getting motivation from people that you're around, surrounding yourself with people who are better than yourself, and then trying not to get bored with what you're doing as well. Because I mean, photographing weddings, then you edit them, there's a lot of pride in what I do, but it's the same thing. So sort of doing things, you know, that keep your mind going, building websites and sort of starting new projects, that always keeps me going. So yeah.
No, that is true. Now, this kind of leads me to my next question a little bit. What is your support system like? You mentioned your husband, who's in strategic marketing, which is a great area to get some tips with. But other than that, what does your support system look like? And be it family, be it kind of your environment, society, maybe even, you know, local organizations, are there those things in South Africa where you are that can help entrepreneurs like you?
Yeah, my circle is pretty small. I know I sound like a total loner. But I'm very, what's the word? I'm selective. I have a lot of, you know, as you do in an industry, a lot of acquaintances and people that you care about, but the real true friends are very far and few between. So when you do find those people, you kind of hang on to them, and I can probably count them on one hand, but those people are the ones that I always turn to, as well as family. Family just kind of recharges you, and they speak to you in a way that no one else will. So they're the ones that tell you, like, don't be an idiot. Whereas friends will still try and sugarcoat it a little bit. Definitely my husband, I bounce everything off of him. And then we have not a lot of photographic societies in South Africa, but we do have one community, which is called Admired in Africa, that's sort of developed over the past, I'd say, 3-4 years. And that's put me in touch with a lot of other photographers. So we speak openly and we share, and it's, you know, we refer to each other. I was able to actually get a wedding in Zanzibar through one of my friends through Admired in Africa, where we became proper friends, you know. So it's you kind of chat on Facebook before that, but meeting people face to face twice a year it's like gold, basically. So yeah, that's something awesome that's just happened in South Africa, and we're really grateful for that. Those are kind of the systems, the support systems. You have your friends, your family, and your work peers, definitely.
Right. Now, this is something that sort of I have experienced here, and I'm just curious if something like that exists in South Africa too. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of entrepreneurial groups, like women entrepreneurial groups, or even sometimes it's a mixture of men and women. Mm. There's an organization called SCORE that does a lot of not conferences, but like talks, and where they get experts to come in and talk about all aspects of business, not just for a particular industry. Mm. And those are very, very popular here in the States. And there's government funding as well for small business organizations that help, the community. Do you guys have things like that in South Africa from maybe a government standpoint, or even a, like I said, non-for-profit organization that's coming in and trying to help entrepreneurship?
I haven't delved too much into that, but I do know that in terms of business conferences, there are amazing business conferences that happen in South Africa. So that's definitely has quite a big following and it's very popular. Most of them will happen in Cape Town or Johannesburg. So yeah, that's always interesting to go to. We had at one stage a networking conference which targeted photographers and videographers. And that was amazing because it was not photography related at all. It was actual business and legal stuff and, all the nitty gritties, which was really right. Incredible. Government? Yeah. When we can get our power working, we'll get onto the government. But yeah, they do have small, medium enterprise funding. There are a lot of criteria that you have to fit in order to get that funding, but it is available for people in South Africa. So yeah.
Okay. What about mentors? Have you had mentors in the past?
Yeah, definitely. And different mentors for different things. But my mentors tend to be friend-based. So I'm not going into a business and sort of asking the CEO to be a mentor. It's actual, when I started out, a good friend of mine sort of took me under his wing and always encouraged me, and I would bounce things off of him. So Carl was like a really, really pivotal mentor for my whole business. But of late, I think it's more just relationships that I have with people and sure. being able to ask them things. If somebody is into printing as their business, I would rather go to a person who's in printing to speak about printing than to Facebook. So
right.
definitely mentors, lots of them, but yeah, not formally.
No, and I think that's a great way to go about it too, especially, mm. You've talked earlier about face-to-face interactions, how you really value that the bonds and the relationships. So I think it sort of falls, like as I'm hearing you speak, I feel like it sort of falls so well with who you are as a person, who you are as a business. So it sort of makes sense that it's not that formal, you're a CEO, mentor kind of thing.
So. When I was working in corporate, I saw that whole mentorship program happening and I just used to cringe. I was like, you've got your hour with the CEO and you like ask all the questions and get all your answers and go forth into the world. And I was just like, oh, there has to be something more than that. Like, so yeah.
Oh man, no, I hear you. I've been there, I've done that. And let's talk motivation, because again, like entrepreneurs, and you mentioned this too, sometimes you're in your office, you're all alone, you're editing or you're doing whatever. How do you kind of keep yourself motivated, excited about your future? Sort of what keeps you going when the going gets tough or even otherwise?
I think it's deadlines. No. At one stage I was working so much. I had tendonitis in my wrist and I had 13 weddings to edit. I cried my eyes out every morning and I used to come into my office and sit down and look at this mountain of work and all the people asking me for photos. And you just have to sit down and do it. There's no one's going to do it for you. So by the end of that, I think that was like one of the biggest lessons. Do not say yes to everything. And by the end of that, when I had nothing left to edit, I swore to myself I would never be in that situation again. But just sitting in this office every day and plowing through taught me so much, because it's that determination just to get through it. I mean, you have probably, gosh, close to 100,000 images in that many weddings, because I shoot a lot. It's going through all those images, making the effort, trying not to let people down, and just putting your head down and working. So now that things are a bit more relaxed, I still am very disciplined. It was a long time that happened over. So that discipline has kind of stuck with me now. If I have deadlines, I will meet my deadlines, even if I have to work through the night. So that's kind of motivation in the sense of get it done or else. But I think that inner drive to be the best that you can be is always going to motivate you. As long as you remember that you're building something for your future, and you really, the more effort you put into something, the more reward you will get out of it. It's hard sometimes to remember that, but what you give is what you get in life. So yeah, that's sort of the motivation and the motto that I live by.
That is so true. And you're right. It is a life motto. It's not just for business, right?
I mean, definitely.
With relationships, with family, with yourself, what you put in is what you get out of it. Yeah, so
definitely. Definitely.
Let's talk specifics. And the reason why I want to say this is because, you know, for any photographer, wedding photographer listening, or even any other entrepreneur listening who is maybe kind of in the situation that you are in or just starting out, I think sometimes specifics really help. Kind of just connect all the dots. So you've been in business for 8 years. How long have you been profitable?
I was profitable from year two. And I think that comes down to what I mentioned before. If things are meant to happen, they will happen. I never found it difficult to start this business. And I was stupid. So let's just say year two was financially profitable. Year four or five was mentally profitable. I was working around the clock. So for me, I don't necessarily see profit as a positive, because I know what my mental state was at that point. From about year four or five, I kind of settled into charging more, understanding that there was demand, so I could, and my skills had developed to a point where I could charge more and take fewer weddings, specialize completely into weddings and elopements, and leave out all the families and the portraits and everything else that was sort of eating up my time. So yeah, I think from about year four was when I got into my groove.
I love that word, mentally profitable.
Yeah.
Because I think that is so true. We think about profits as only monetary.
Definitely.
What's coming in the bank account, yes. But I think at the cost of health, at the cost of stress, at the cost of almost like a breakdown. I mean, money is not important. So,
Do we know any wedding photographers who haven't had burnout?
I think you're very right. And I also will say that is true for anybody. I see a lot of my friends in other industries, and burnout is so prevalent everywhere. And again, as an entrepreneur, you want to do everything. You want to have your, you know, feet and your hands and your head into everything, because it's like your baby.
Yeah.
You don't want to let it go. You want that control.
Yeah. And you're terrified that if you're not doing something, you're not making money. So you just kind of take everything. And that's probably the worst thing that people can do. Maybe at the beginning, it's a good idea until you've kind of figured out what you want to do and what you want to specialize in. But as soon as you do specialize, honestly, it will make your life much easier. And when you specialize in something, you can develop your skills, and you'll find that you're able to charge higher prices pretty quickly, because it's a very steep curve of improvement at the beginning. So just being able to focus on something, one thing or two things, instead of 100, it makes all the difference.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Now, in the 8 years that you've been doing this, have you pivoted at all, as in, you know, products, services? If yes, then how did you pivot? And if no, do you sort of plan on pivoting, or have you found your niche and you want to do this for like X number of years?
Yeah, I've always been into different things. So I mean, I photograph weddings. At the beginning, I would photograph anything. So the first real pivot was specializing and saying no to family, maternity. I do some sort of portraits and boudoir work and that, but it's literally weddings and elopements that I photograph now. And that's made my life so much easier. In terms of a complete pivot, I've gone a lot more into education and teaching, which is something that I'm really passionate about. And I've kind of found that I'm really good at it. So that's going to be the next challenge. I mean, I know wedding photographers have a shelf life. So basically, I need to put some thought into creating a passive income beyond my active income and planning for the future, because I don't really want to be 50 or 60 still shooting weddings. I feel like I'm in my groove now, but give it another 10, 15 years and I need to be sort of making income from other places. So yeah, I'm doing a lot of building on the sidelines into prints and education, and we'll see what else comes. But yeah, it's a cool journey to be on, doing different things. And it keeps me from being bored as well. So
yes, yeah. I was just going to say, I was just getting there. Yeah. And I think to your point earlier of motivation and boredom, it's that excitement that, yeah, you know, trying to look forward to the future. And, yeah, you know, like anything else, diversification is a great thing.
Definitely. I mean, I did, even within photography, just doing different things. I got so excited the other day. I created some portraits of MMA fighters, and we were in the dark during one of our power cuts, and I took my little LED lights and we created like some magical images. And just from that, I feel you sort of get a spark again. It's not just the same thing. And at weddings, I'm looking at light differently and I'm creating different images, and that's really exciting. So I guess it's just about doing things that are not your everyday sort of on your to-do list. It's about going into everything that you do, just looking at it a bit differently and pushing yourself and just trying to see if you can do something cool. So yeah, obviously don't experiment at weddings, but
no, but you have to get that creativity in a little, yeah, bit. And photography is a creative industry.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, you do kind of, no matter what you're photographing, you kind of have that in the back of your mind on how can I be creative? Because, yeah, you want to grow as a creative, yeah, not just, you know, do the work. Yeah. Do you employ others?
No, I don't. I outsource a few things, but I don't directly employ people. So I know my limits. I outsource my accounting and my printing for now. But most of the things I like to keep my fingers on. So I did try and outsource editing as well, which was a complete nightmare. So I'll just carry on doing that. I know there's this movement towards outsourcing everything and using that time to make more profit for your business. But at the same time, I think I do certain things better than other people can do. And those things I'm very pedantic about. And my editing, I'm very pedantic about editing. So I would rather just keep tabs on that myself. So I outsource what I really can't do. I used to do graphic design somewhere in my life. I don't know where, like when clip art was still cool. So so yeah, I'm able to build websites and do all of that myself, which has really helped a lot. It takes time, but when I'm finished with something, I know it's the way that I want it to be and it's perfect. I can't do the launch of the website. I'll outsource that, but the nitty-gritties, I love that sort of thing. So yeah, that's what I sort of hold on to.
Excellent. Now, where do you, as in specifically Nikki, where do you invest most of your time? Is it in marketing, sales? Is it in, you talked about editing a little bit, or ideation? I mean, where in the whole gamut of things that you do, where do you find you gravitate more towards?
I do spend a lot of time editing. So typically I'm in the office by about 8, quarter past 8, and I'm onto admin and editing and all of that stuff. But that I guess could be production and then marketing. Throughout the day, I'm always on social media and sort of putting photos up as I'm going and, you know, keeping tabs on everything in terms of Instagram and Facebook. My ideation is pretty much daydreaming time. So I'll lie in bed and think of all the cool things that I could do. It's more during the day, sort of real tasks. Other than that, it's all dreaming. So yeah.
No, that's good. That's good.
That's terrible. You have to...
No, I think as we all, you know, we all do this. We all daydream, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I'm sitting at the dinner table and my kids are talking and I'm like thinking of something else. And my kids are pretty savvy in terms of knowing when I'm not paying attention. And they're like, Mom, you know, did you hear what I said? I'm like, yes.
Of course I did.
So I think, you know, kind of that, again, as creatives, as entrepreneurs, we do this all the time because we want to see it grow. We want to see this dream of ours. We want to take it to the next level, right?
Yeah.
So that's always in front. That's the difference, I think, between an entrepreneur and maybe a more traditional corporate sort of environment where you're not in control. You don't make the decisions
yeah.
a lot of the times. So whereas here, you are totally in control and you make all the decisions. So.
Definitely. As well, a lot of my time now recently has been spent not doing work as well, not a lot of time, but I've made very specific times for myself to go and run or swim or just get out of the office as well. So that's one new thing, which is working pretty well, except for the fact that I'm always injured. But just to clear your mind a bit, it's gold. So that's the new thing, probably for the past year or so, and it's working really well too.
Now, I am going to jump to that because that was one of my questions for you, because I've seen, you know, talking about social media, I've seen a lot of your images and just your life in like life outside of Nikki, the wedding
yes.
photographer. So what do you do for fun?
Fun, what's that? I drink wine.
Hey, that's a lot of fun.
Gosh, I mean, we've got a cool group of friends and hanging out with them, we sort of do burger nights and just get out and do stuff. The other day I went to a movie, which was like the first in ages. So I was like, you know, movie houses still exist. What's going on? We don't just stream. So, yeah, that's quite cool. And other than that, I started running probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. There's quite a few cool half marathons throughout South Africa. We all get together, go through our group of running friends and do that. And yeah, it's, you know, taking a walk on the beachfront or getting in the car and driving down to the garden route and checking out the forests and all of that sort of stuff. So it's downtime and fun time is kind of the same for me. There's no like fun time and relaxed time. It's like take what you can get.
Yeah. Now I'm going to call this out because I think what you're doing is quite phenomenal in this respect.
Okay.
You have an amazing garden, right? You harvest some pretty cool,
wacky.
It's like orange carrots and purple potatoes or some crazy thing like that. How did that come about?
I've always been an entrepreneur. I don't even know like how it got into me, but I used to, as a kid, like sort of design logos. And at one point I had a huge vegetable garden and I would make salads for people for lunch and go and drop it off. So just from
wow.
that, I know it was like so random, but I mean, I needed money. I was in matric. I needed to go on holiday. So do something. I can remember as far back as being probably 5 and I would cut paper and make sort of little folded paper origami things and try and sell them to the people in my parents' office complex. And they would look at me and be like, that is not worth R5, but you're so cute. Like, so yeah, Anyway, so from doing that as a youngster, I got very into gardening. And I think it's probably been 2 or 3 years now that we've had, I have a theory that grass is a waste of space. So my darling husband and I took up all the grass and put in box gardens, and he was hating life, but you know, love. And then, yeah, I've been planting. At the moment, it's not running too well because we have a drought and we are on water restrictions. So all the washing machine water is going into the garden. But yeah, it's not looking great at the moment, but we are still trying. I have onions at least.
Yeah, I remember seeing these amazing pictures of these really different looking produce. And I was like, oh my God, she's a wedding photographer. Where does she get time to do all this?
The cool thing about a garden is you can plant it and water it, and the rest is just done by itself. So my theory is that if I'm going to do something different. I mean, I can go to the store and buy potatoes. I cannot go to the store and buy purple potatoes. So definitely grow purple potatoes and pink carrots and whatever else I can get my hands on. So yeah, that's my thing.
I love it. So perhaps let's in the interest of time kind of wrap this up with a few more questions. What has been the most, if you could say, the most important part of your entrepreneurial journey so far?
I think just self-development, knowing that I'm growing and developing and creating a brand that's become recognized, the independence that comes from that. Recognition is always a good thing. You know, we feel awkward getting it, but at the end of the day, it means a hell of a lot. So I think being recognized is, as a South African wedding photographer, you know, there's something behind that I'm incredibly proud of. And also adventures. I am adventurous at heart, and I'm proud of the fact that I've brought that into my business and I get to sort of do it. I get to travel, and it's an important part of my brand. So all of those things are super important and they mean a lot to me. So yeah, that's sort of the journey so far. Those are the things that stand out most towards me. Being in charge of your own destiny is definitely amazing. So yeah.
I love it. Yep. Yeah. Yep, I agree. Yeah. If you could go back in time to when you started, right? Would you do it all over again?
I would.
Would you change anything about it?
I would. Look, as I said, like from the beginning, the journey through corporate, I definitely wouldn't change that. It's taught me, it really did teach me so much. Going on my own, I've done a lot of stupid things. I've wasted a lot of money listening to other people. So the only thing I would really change is just to listen to my intuition a bit more. And when people are saying sort of outsource, and I'm going, I'm drowning in my editing, I better outsource, you know, and spending the exchange rate between rand and dollar is quite hectic. So when I spend dollars on editing and it comes back terrible, and I've used 3 editing companies in America and they're just horrific, and then I'm sort of like, I knew I shouldn't have done it. So there's small things that I would change, but overall the journey itself has been so incredible. I wouldn't change much about that.
Yeah, and you learn something from every situation, good or bad. As much as, you know, at that time you were like, what the hell is this? Why am I going through this? Yeah. But I think, you know, you sort of learn, and I love it when you said you wouldn't change a lot of those things because it taught you so much.
Yeah.
Now, what lies ahead for you? Are you living your dream, fully living your dream, or what comes next? Can you share with us a little bit?
I don't think anyone really lives their dream. They can create a pretty good curated Insta life, but I think my dreams are always going to be a bit wacky and out there. So, and as soon as I reach one, probably another one will take its place. So I have an awesome life and I'm very grateful for that life. We travel and we enjoy life, and even just living where we do, we're out all the time and sort of feeling the sunshine on our faces, which is something that a lot of people don't really get during the day. So I am living a dream. I don't know if it's the full dream yet, but I'm always scheming. And I think just to, as I said, develop that passive income, that's the next big thing, and build a little empire. So it's all in my head still. It's not really down on paper yet. The first phase is coming when I'm launching a store. But
wonderful.
An online store. So that will sort of be the portal through which everything runs. And that's the first phase. And then onwards to world domination, I guess.
Well, we will be following your journey for sure.
Thank you.
No, thank you so much, Nikki. This has been such an amazing treat. And I love awesome. Your enthusiasm. I love your energy. I love those giggles. I think it just brings a smile to my face. And I don't know if you can see, but I'm smiling the entire time. I was smiling. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And we would love to follow along everything that you do.
That would be amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Culturally Ours. Check out the show notes at culturallyours.com. If you've enjoyed the show, please be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your family and friends.